Norster Kenius.
I was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geek though.
My lord! American Marketing! Border Charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom wink. The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that, and
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 84 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, December 20th, 2015. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about scoring from everyone, waiver moves, and mustard.
Mustard.
In the studio with me, as you can hear, is Kenny.
What up?
And across from me is Mr. Jive.
Season's greetings.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ha. Yeah.
Hey, you guys, are you guys ready for the holiday spirit? Do you have the holiday cheer inside of you?
Bah humbug.
Yeah, getting there. Well, I'm the last minute guy, so.
Yeah, me and Kenny watched the game last night, and after Kenny took off, I had a few drinks, and I decided it would be a good time to go combing eBay to try to find a Christmas gift. Apparently I bought something. Hopefully it'll be okay. And
do you know what it is, or is it kind of a surprise once it gets here?
Surprise for me, surprise for her, you know?
That's what she said.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I think we got a little bit of news for the listeners, though, coming up this week.
Yeah,
our schedule is going to be a little off.
Yeah, we'll get to that at the end of the episode. I've got some. I'll lay it out for all y'all to handle our holiday schedule.
That means
schedule.
You have to listen to the entire thing this time and not just the end.
Yep. And before
not
we get in,
the end.
Not just the end.
Just don't skip to the end. And I want to know what their schedule is.
We could announce
Scroll
it in the middle.
Hockey talk.
We could just announce it in the middle. So you're just gonna have to listen and wait.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Well, before we get too far into things, I'd just like to remind you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box.
Ask us questions too, please.
Yes. You can ask them at any time, and we may not answer them right away. Or
we'll wait till like Sunday night and answer them, or we'll just respond with some witty banter.
Right, or we'll call you an idiot, you know.
Or all of the above.
Or maybe all of the above.
Or maybe we're just the idiots.
Or we'll get into the week recap.
Yeah.
Whoa, what a week it was. Lots of scoring this week. I don't know, highlighted, I guess, by the Koivu, Vanek, and Zucker line. I mean,
beautiful.
Those guys were on it this week.
Yeah, Koivu in the last four games, he's got 9 points.
Yeah.
And that's 4 goals, 5 assists.
Yeah.
Captain K lighting the lamp.
He's been a monster the last few games here.
Yeah, you can't complain about that. The penalty kill has been remaining strong as of late. Dubs. He made his triumphant return.
Dubs.
He's back from... He's back from
paternity leave.
Well, I thought it was maternity leave, though, right?
Well, no, it's paternity if he's the father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if it's a woman, it's maternity.
He might be the mother.
Oh, maybe Jive is like Dubnyk, and he has some maternal instinct.
Well, I mean, if Dubnyk pushed out a kid and came back 3 days later, man, that guy's got some. He's got some cojones on him.
You guys have seen the movie Twins, right? DeVito and Schwarzenegger at their best,
right?
Oh yeah,
at their best. I don't know. Kindergarten Cop was pretty awesome.
It was. But the Wild did see at the tail end of the week here, their 9-game point streak did come to a skidding stop
last night. Actually,
in our favorite place,
Herds.
With visiting the Purds down in Nashville.
Purds.
Yeah, but still, I mean, against the Rangers, between the Rangers and the Canucks game, they scored 11 goals.
Yeah, that's quite impressive.
Games. Wow, man.
Yeah, I think I looked back and it's been a long time since we've had 11 goals over a 2-game span.
Yeah.
I had to go back quite a while.
Right. That's quite the feat there. We did have some... kind of bummer news this week. Glenn Sonmore passed on.
Big Minnesota hockey guy.
Definitely.
So. Time with the North Stars and the Gophers, of course.
And I think the Fighting Saints as well. So, I mean, you know, our condolences to his family and his loved ones, and he's going to be greatly missed.
Definitely. But then on Thursday night, a little bit of excitement in the week.
May the 4th be with you.
Well, it's not May the 4th.
Not the 4th.
But it was the release.
I think Kenny just has a list, but I think that's right.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Okay. But yeah, no.
How many idiotic things can I say in a night?
We'll start keeping a tally here.
We're a whole 6 minutes in, and you already got two of them.
Oh boy!
But yeah, everybody knows that. Well, if you don't know, you might have been living under a rock. But everybody knows that Star Wars was released this week, and in honor on Thursday night, the Wild had a special intro for those in attendance at the X. That featured a couple of the Wild players and
lightsabers
and all shooting. What are they? Are they just laser
blasters?
Beams? I don't know, but I don't know.
We're nerdy, but we're not that nerdy. Apparently, we're the wrong type of nerds.
Have you guys seen the movie yet?
No,
have not been to see it.
No, but I've got a spoiler for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke is really Tyler Durden.
That's actually a good spoiler. No, so I was thinking, you know, hey, it'd be a good time to go see it because I can kind of make my own schedule. I'll go during the day. And then I realized, no, they released it right as all the kids are out for Christmas break from school. Uh-huh. So if I go during the day, I'm going to be sitting there with a bunch of high school kids hooting and hollering throughout the movie that have no idea what the original Star Wars was even about.
I honestly don't want to go just because everyone else is going. So I'm like, no, I don't want to really go. I haven't seen those ones that were in the 2000s or whatever, late 90s, 2000s, whatever it was.
Apparently, like, the way to watch them is to watch number 4 and then watch 2 and 3 as a prequel and then watch 5 and 6 and just completely skip number 1.
That's too much work, seriously.
It is a lot of work.
No, thank you. Anyway, let's go back to hockey here.
Hockey?
Screw this dumb movie.
All right.
Wait, we're doing a hockey podcast?
That's what this is.
No, this is a podcast where we vaguely talk about a movie that none of us have seen. And apparently don't have really that big of an interest to go see anyway.
Just call us Siskel and Ebert.
Well, Siskel, Ebert, and Ebert.
For all the Star Wars fans out there, Siskel live long and prosper.
Both Siskel and Ebert are in boxes, actually.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard.
So anyways, Yo continued some line juggling this week. Yep. But the line of Koivu, Vanek, and Zucker, I mean, those three together this week, I mean, it's been wildly crazy. I mean,
do or do not, those guys scored.
They did. So, man, you are just killing me today. Who invited you anyway?
Yoda.
Welcome to Two in the Box. Can you put Kenny on mute there?
Done.
Right. So,
hockey fans are special.
Yes,
no, just me apparently tonight.
What do you guys make of their performance this week? I mean, do you think it was just kind of a fad and, you know, kind of a fluke that it all came together this week? Or do you think we can expect to continue to see them producing like that? I mean, can they keep that up?
Well, you know, I did drop that, you know, Koivu's had 9 points in the last 4 games. But in the 7 games prior, he had 0 points.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, we're like FSM. We're just highlighting the highlights and ignoring, like, game number 6.
Right. Yeah, because if you go over the last 11 games, he has 9 points, which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but...
But just don't look at game 12. Because then his numbers drop drastically.
Actually, they'd go up again, but...
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, aside from that little skid there, he's actually been pretty damn consistent this whole season.
Yep.
You know, and if you look at it, he's averaging a point a game, basically, up until that little skid, and now he's caught back up with this last little stretch here. So, you know, and really he's kind of having a career year, you know, especially under Yo. He had some all right years, you know, in the La Mer day, but never to this level of productivity, you know. I don't if can he sustain it? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I sure hope so, you know.
I agree.
And sustain he can.
And
then that the puck goes.
And with
we got what do you this just again. Said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
You are delaying the podcast today. So what I wanted to mention was that, you know, with Vanek on his wing, Vanek is, I mean, he's been out of this world this year as well. I mean,
right.
The way he's dishing the puck off, the way he's shooting the puck. I mean,
he's playing like we thought he would last year.
I'm liking Vanek.
He is who we thought he was.
I think, you know, any line that Vanek is with right now is going to start producing. I mean, he's got the snipe shot. He's also got an amazing heads-up talent on the ice where he knows where the players are without even looking.
Yep. Well, and that's that.
Of course, sometimes that leads to, like, a boneheaded drop pass that no one is there because he sees too much. And he sees someone doing something.
Well, you have that, or the players aren't expecting it.
Right.
Especially, like, new line mates of his.
Yeah, true.
But that, and that's what I was kind of seeing, though, is this week. I mean, it seemed like Koivu and Vanek were, like, I mean, it was like they were seeing eye to eye, even right. though they weren't. I mean, they just knew where each other were going to be. I mean, I don't know if that's just playing with each other over time. That's... Oh boy!
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
Who invited you this week? Wow! Just killing it.
I'm starting to think. Yeah, maybe two in the box makes more sense right now. If all we get is Star Wars puns and half baked references to. That's what she said.
Kenny must not have gotten much sleep last night.
Oh, it's Sunday. I think I got too much sleep this Sunday.
Too much sleep. All right. But anyways, I mean, for the better part of the week, though, the Wild, they were putting on a shooting clinic, really. I mean...
Well, that Vancouver game, they basically spent the whole game in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
I mean...
And, you know, when you're in the offensive zone and you're getting shots on the net... I mean, we see what happens, obviously. We score, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What do you guys think was the cause for the Wild outbreak of scoring this week?
I think it was against two teams that weren't exactly ready to come and play. I mean, New York just had some changes in their lineup. Obviously, one of them came to us. Vancouver... I don't know what happened with Vancouver, but... They
left Miller out to hang to dry. His defense was not there.
Their D was definitely not there. I mean, Miller had to have been basically impersonating the goalie from Goon at that point, going, what the hell, am I the only one in this game right now?
So you're telling me the Wild aren't that good?
No, I think they are.
They were just that bad.
I think, you know, given the opportunity... You know, the Wild can definitely open up and start putting on a clinic like that. I mean, the talent is there to do it.
Yeah.
Our defensive core is there to do it to keep the goals down if they're playing proper. And obviously, I mean, you start getting some of these right line combinations, you get the chemistry building, and I mean, once you start getting some of those really nice, like, good passes and you start getting people clicking, that whole chemistry, I mean, they're going to ride that high. And, yeah. I mean, we've seen that with this team. Like, they are very up and down. Like, I mean, when they're high. And when they're low, all of a sudden it keeps feeding on each other, and it seems to bring the whole team just down. Yeah. But, I mean, once they're going, I mean, which we saw with Vancouver and New York, I mean, they're going to obviously take that. I mean,
Well, and the New York game was also a little different because, you know, Lundqvist came in cold. He thought he was going to be get the night off, but then Ranta took a slap shot from Scandella, right to the middle of the forehead, and he gets knocked out.
close to being knocked out.
Right. I mean, he's out of the game, and he's now on IR. So I don't think Lundqvist really had his mind in the game, and that because unlike the Vancouver game, where you're like you actually kind of felt bad for Miller because he was, you know, he was getting no support. Lundqvist had support, and he was. There were some fluky goals that were, you know, off the shoulder. There was also
some fluky saves, some amazing saves that he had that just absolutely robbed the Wild.
But I feel less bad because it's like, you know, those pucks went in, you know, they went in on him. So,
yeah. So, well, hopefully it's contagious. I don't know. Maybe it'll get around. I know against Vancouver it was. What I think we had six different players.
Our skaters got goals that game.
That's nice. We gotta continue to see
spread the wealth around.
Yep, get it all around. So
wealth was spread. They did.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard.
Who's got the tally sheet going right now?
Is that six?
They better get a couple pages going because this is going to be a long night. So do you guys see any other...
Kenny's dead.
Who killed Kenny?
Me.
Aaron and Jive did after this podcast.
Oh. Do you guys see any other line changes that you think, you know, should be or could be made at this point right now to maybe spice things up around the Wild and keep this scoring going?
I know we covered it a little bit last week, but I'm still not necessarily a fan of the Pominville Granlund Parisi line.
Agreed.
Palmer's had some goals here recently, but I don't think they're really clicking like they were at one point.
Right.
And I think a lot of that's predicated on Parisi being the one person who can put the puck in the net, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you. And actually, on that top line, I'd almost like to see Coyle get another shot at it. You know, I know he hasn't, you know, been a major contributor, you know, down there on the third line, but he's not getting minutes down there, and he's, you know,
I mean he's
with the lower end talent.
And that's the thing though, is you're not gonna mess with that Koivu Manic Zucker line.
Not right now. You don't want to touch that.
And honestly, you know, Niederreiter is struggling right now or hasn't really done a whole lot lately.
Yeah.
You know, maybe both the first and third lines gonna be blown up a little bit and shuffle them up and see if you can get something to click.
So you're putting Parisi on the third line then?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
No, I would say move Pominville down there.
I don't know. I mean, Palmer's is actually, you know, hitting posts half the time, but he's been putting a couple home now, at least. I mean, we can't ride him for not producing at all anymore.
He needs to be put with someone a little more physical, and that's part of the issue I see. Yeah. So you put him with Coyle, put him with Niederreiter, put him, you know, something needs to change there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see if anything happens there.
Yeah. So, and as we mentioned, you know, when we were running through the recap there, Dubes is back this week. How do you guys think that he looked in his return?
I mean, Lord, he looked better than Kemper did. I mean, Kemper got lucky, I think, in the Vancouver game that Miller was, you know,
letting everything through.
Right. You know, there's that one play where he's just sloppy. He's behind the net recovering the puck, goes and makes a stupid pass. And it's easily picked off, and they score a goal because he's scrambling to get back to the net. And I don't think he even had a stick in his hand by the time he got back to the net.
I mean, mine is, besides that, which was a very, I think, arrogant play made by Kemper, very lackadaisy type play.
Yep.
Because, I mean, it seemed like when he went out there, he just kind of blew it off like, oh, yeah, whatever, we got this. And you know, yeah, absolutely, Vancouver capitalized on that, as they should have. If they didn't, I would have been very surprised with Vancouver, because, I mean, they do still have some top talent on their team.
Right.
Well,
the thing is, a stupid mistake like that is how you start getting the tide turn. And we're lucky that we're lucky the things didn't flip, but
he got very complacent in where they were sitting.
So. Yep.
And maybe that's just a young player, young goaltender mistake. But you know, I would think he'd be past that by now from playing in playoff games last year previous years. You know, you'd think he'd be a little bit more mature than that. I mean, other than that, I think he looked good. I think he looked solid.
Oh, yeah, I would say. I would agree.
So, you guys, what's your comfort level then with our goaltending situation? I mean, are we, solid for goaltending then going into the playoffs?
I think if we can keep people's heads in check, yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. I think Kemper is going to be our number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, he is.
I mean, Dubnyk.
Yes, thank you. talking Kemper, yes. Dubnyk is going to be our number one. But I think if anything should happen, I do feel fairly confident in Kemper being able to keep up and at least keep us in the run, he has played well since Dubnyk's been out. So
yeah.
Well, and I think I know, me and Kenny were talking with someone earlier today about this, and I think this team is a team that you don't necessarily need, like a few years ago when Jonathan Quick was playing out of his freaking mind in the playoffs. The Wild don't need that necessarily because they're pretty solid defensively.
Most games.
For most games,
Against the Predators, so they, I don't know what happened there. Because, Dubnyk's, how many shots did he face? I think it was almost 40 shots.
Well, and actually, Jive, the person that Aaron and I were talking to had brought that up with our defensive core.
Well, and the Nashville game is a good example. You're not going to win many games when you only score two goals. The Wild gave up three goals, which is, it makes it tough to win too. Tougher, at least.
Yep.
In the league's current scoring environment, three goals is a lot of goals.
Yeah.
But I think this team is solid enough defensively that they don't necessarily need to rely on playing out of your mind goaltending. Mm-hmm. They just need someone who's going to be solid and not make stupid mistakes.
Kemper's mistake against Vancouver was stupid.
Yes. And I don't think Dubnyk necessarily makes a lot of stupid mistakes.
No, he doesn't. He's pretty solid with his, basics.
His fundamentals.
Yeah, his fundamentals. Yeah. And that's, I can't disagree with that there. I mean, if you can be solid there and not make those stupid turnovers, I mean, I think that's kind of what happened too in the Nashville game was more than even just, the Predators playing better than the Wild. It was more of the Wild stopped winning the battles to the pucks. The Wild started, making a few of those poor turnovers.
There was definitely a lot of that. Yeah. But again, the guy that Aaron and I were talking with earlier, you're seeing this team and you get into the third period, even being down, you don't necessarily feel like the Wild is out of the game.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the Wild played the Rangers this week.
They did.
And through that, that was actually the first game for the Mr. Jarrett Stoll, who the Wild claimed off waivers from the Rangers.
Whole $3,000.
Yeah, cost I think, like $3,500, something like that, in that ballpark.
That's an expensive phone call.
Right. I know GM Chuck Fletcher had joked that the money is going to be available, paid cash on demand.
Cash on delivery.
Cash on delivery.
Cash money, homie.
since they were going to be there, like 2 days after the waiver pickup.
Which was Stoll's first game.
And it was Stoll's first game. He had, so far he's only played, I think, 23 minutes, so he hasn't had a ton of ice time over the two games he's played. He's been winning faceoffs, which is one of his calling cards, is that he's a fourth line type centerman who can win faceoffs.
So very similar to Knopka.
Right.
Except for he doesn't fight.
Right.
I mean, if you punched him in his nose, it might bleed a little bit more than Knopka's.
Yeah, what does he do?
Apparently the Wild really needed a Knopka, and so they went and got the next best thing as Jarrett Stoll. Stoll, he only has 3 points in 29 games with the Rangers. But again, he's winning faceoffs, solid 58% winning percentage on that. And if you don't know, he was busted in April of this year in Vegas with coke and ecstasy. It originally was going to be a felony possession, and they got...
lawyers dropped it down.
His lawyers got knocked down to a misdemeanor. So
what you're saying is if we're missing the snow here around Christmas
time... No, he brought
time,
it because his first day here is when we got that snow and that stuff that was of the consistency of a runny nose.
I don't know. I saw the snow and I was not in the throes of ecstasy.
Oh, man.
Okay, come on. So, Stoll comes in. Obviously, that means someone's got to be scratched. And these first two games that Stoll's been in, that's Halla. I guess the first question is, do you think Stoll's the piece we need? Is he going to be a solution for the Wild to help us get us, to the promised land?
He's not going to be the end-all, be-all. He might be one of the pieces in the puzzle to help make the bigger picture all around, especially, he's also a very good PK guy, right. Which ironically, the first PK that the Wild had with him was him sitting in the box.
Right.
But if he can win some of those faceoffs in the Wild zone during the penalty kills where it's very optimal for them to clear the puck, that's definitely going to help out in the long run.
Yeah. And I got to agree with you, Kenny. I don't think that it's the end all be all. Obviously. I mean, if we're bringing in, a fourth line guy to win faceoffs, he's not going to be the deal breaker on the team. But those pieces, when you're trying to put together a championship team or somebody to go very, very deep in the playoffs,
you need four lines rotating.
Yeah, it's those little pieces. And, winning faceoffs with your fourth line in your defensive zone, those things are key, especially in the playoff games. That's what it comes down to sometimes is those little things that, if you lose a faceoff in your defensive zone, you're automatically giving the other team, an upper hand advantage there. And if you can spell your first and second lines with somebody who you're confident can go out there, win the faceoff, get the puck deep in the other team's zone,
Right.
While you're spelling your first couple lines, that's huge.
Well, and actually, you make a good point. Kind of brings up a point that he's got a lot of playoff experience. He's got two rings with LA. He's got 93 career playoff games, which is more than any Wild player.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already the most seasoned playoff player on the Wild team. And he's got a good face-off percentage even in the playoffs. So, especially with the new face-off rules this year, where if you're in the defending zone, you got to put your stick down first. You need someone that's going to win those.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you're going to really struggle on that power penalty kill.
You don't want that team getting possession, in your zone.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that, Hollow was scratched his first two games. Is he going to be the odd man out here for the rest of it?
Unfortunately, I think so. I really like Halla. Halla seemed a bit slower than he has in the years past, but I think there's still some residual where he's still sitting in Yo's doghouse. And unfortunately, I think that it's going to be Halla that's going to be getting the scratch on a lot of these with Stoll coming in.
Well, and really, a player like Halla, I don't think... is ever going to shine on a fourth line.
No.
He's just not that type of player. I honestly think that they would do better for Halla's career to have him playing, on a top line, getting lots of time down in Iowa. and you know, ready to come up when, you know, if we have somebody on one of our on our top lines.
I mean, that's the problem, though. We got two. We already have two other Finns on our top center line that are more than likely not going to be moving.
Well, and I'm not saying moving, but I mean, I'm talking injuries happen.
Absolutely.
And depth is nice to have. I wouldn't hate to have Holla be, you know, be the one to come up and fill somebody's shoes, like, you know, Koivu or
so would,
or
would,
even or even Coyle or Granlund.
So should we look at Holla then now being more of a trade bait situation, like to try to get somebody else that's going to be at the number one or number two line?
I don't know at this point if we could get the value that we'd like out of
right.
that. I don't think that that's something that they're thinking about.
I mean, because it's not good all around. I mean, if that's where Holla needs to be, is in a number one or number two line, having him down on the fourth line is A, not doing the team any good, and B, not doing him any good.
Yeah.
Well, it does open the option of him maybe moving up to that third line, though, and moving Coyle off to a wing. And, you know, if someone like, you know, Fontaine, that they don't feel he's doing enough right now, he could be a healthy scratch, you know. I don't see them doing anything with Niederreiter, but, you know, that's there too if he's struggling, you know. So. Or if Yo needs to have someone else added to the doghouse, you know. Like, well, he's got some flexibility, and that's why I don't think they would get rid of him, because they need depth. And, you know, we saw it because the people that are pulling up, you know, like Birchie. Birchie's not an NHL player.
Nope.
He needs some.
And just as soon as they call him up, I see the wire come across that they're sending him right back down.
It's been happening a lot this year.
Yeah. So.
Well, all right, you guys. I got a bit of a rant that I need to go on.
Uh oh.
I really, really, really hate the Preds.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'll just get that out of the way right now.
I cannot stand Nashville. Multiple reasons. Everything from that man-woman thing that they had last year. You remember which one? Like, the whole, like, super decked out, like...
The fur lady
that had, like, the dead animal on her head or whatever it was.
Yeah, she was a mess.
Just put it out there. You're just not a country music fan.
Okay, their goal song is boring as all hell.
Yeah.
My God. Isn't a goal song supposed to get the crowd pumped up? And it's like... It's like you're going to go start line dancing or something?
Don't
during the
tell
goal
my
song?
Heart, my achy, breaky heart. Yeah, that's all you're going to get out of me for that.
Wow.
It's like I'm not dogging on country music, but it's just, it's not, you know... There's very few country songs that have a whole ton of energy that can get a crowd pumped.
No.
They need some Hank Williams III going on or something,
okay,
right?
I would buy that.
All right.
But Nashville
is never going to happen.
Yeah, because Nashville does not like Hank III.
Right.
Or any of the Williams boys.
Yeah.
One, two, or three. But, so, I don't know what it is. I mean, they got the ugly yellow mustard... colored home sweaters.
Well, those were those retro? Was that what it was supposed to be? Like
retro? They came around the same year
I
as
know,
the Wild.
Was it supposed to be some sort of a throwback? Because, yeah, that was...
No, it's supposed to be some
throw
sort of
up. Yes, nice.
Because those jerseys were... They were horrible.
It's like,
it made it painful to watch. I agree.
It's like puke mustard yellow. I mean, they're absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
So that and the whole, you know, still booing Suter every time he touches the puck. It's like, Aaron, I think you had alluded to, it's like the bad ex-girlfriend reference. Like, when are you going to finally get over it?
Right.
So you think Suter's happy he's gone from there?
I would be. I mean, if you had to wear those yellow sweaters every time you're at home. And you know,
it makes your eyes sparkle how yellow that jersey is.
And honestly, James Neal is still a douche. So,
yeah,
you know, there was that video that went around, 2 weeks ago? Where it's like, F you, you're getting an FM penalty.
Right.
For embellishment.
Yeah, yep.
So, I mean, I guess my question is, what's the optimal time to be upset with a player that had left your franchise? I mean, we've seen some good players go that we obviously weren't happy with. You know, Gabrick being one of them.
Yeah. And you probably still hold a little grudge in your heart.
I wish he would have never got a ring with L.A., but...
Yeah.
I feel like we talk about this every year when the Wild are in Nashville. And I think the while I think it's ridiculous to boo him every time he touches the puck, because it's just stupid. You know, we should not be throwing stones here, you know, because look at, it's not hockey, but look at, you know, the Twins. We boo
Przinski
every year he comes here.
That's because he's a jackass.
Yes, but it's not like he signed to a different, he went left us intentionally. We traded him away.
Right.
Yeah, and we still booed him.
I think we were booing him when he played with the Twins.
That's because he's a bad person. He's not Minnesotan.
he's not nice.
No.
He's just
him and you remember Knobloch from back in the day,
throwing batteries at him,
right?
You know, and Knobloch,
I
like
double A Knobloch.
I like Knobloch. I did.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I played second base growing up. I liked Knobloch, but yeah, he was a douchebag too.
He was.
I mean, I've grown out of that phase, obviously, and I look back and I'm going, man, if I could go back and slap my 10-year-old self, I probably would.
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how long, you know, you hold a grudge. I mean, obviously...
Norm Green can go on forever as far as I'm concerned.
Well, exactly.
That's a good one, you know?
I mean, that's the thing, is we still hold a, you know, a grudge in our hearts for that every time we play the Dallas Stars.
Every time we see Bettman, we boo.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Bettman is also...
Isn't it time to get over it, Kenny?
No. Because there's been no other commissioner that has had four lockouts in his tenure.
Heck, you even hate the announcer guy.
Pierre?
Pierre. I mean, jeez, come on.
Like, you should be talking about grudges here.
Grudges I have, do I?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Well, okay.
I'm losing count over here.
So, I mean, here's the thing. My grudge with Norm Green didn't take one player from us. He took an entire team from us.
Agreed.
That grudge can go on a lot longer than a single player. And honestly, if Norm Green walked into the X, I would hope to hell that he would get booed, and I'm pretty sure he would.
I wonder if he's been in there.
No,
because he's not even, he doesn't have anything to do with the Stars anymore either, I don't think. Yeah. He hasn't for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, he took an entire team. That's worth having a grudge for a while. He took a franchise from this city. Now, just taking one player who happened to be, you know, your top line D, it's been 5 years already. I think we stopped booing Gabrick after two.
I don't have
I don't even remember booing him. So.
Exactly. And Gabrick was like Gabrick was the number one draft pick for the Wild.
But still to the day though, if you hear Gabrick did this or Gabrick did that, you think back like, well, he never did that for us.
No,
you know.
Gabrick did a lot for the Wild. I mean, he had what? The 5 goals in one game
against the Rangers.
Against the Rangers, the team he went to the following year.
And 5 groin strains in one game.
There was that. He finally went to the right doctor after he left the Wild.
Oh, see, but they got better doctors out there in New York.
Huh? Apparently.
Right.
But I mean, you know, I don't know if we really have anybody else that we can even put on that same level.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. Anybody else have anything to add for the week, or should we get into our Twitter talk?
I've got some questions, I think. Let's answer them.
Get into the Twitter talk. All right.
So, Mr. Josh Wendell, PGA, at JWendellPGA, asks, can Nino start putting up points against, please? I'm sorry. Can Nino start putting up points again, please?
You're a big boy. Use your big boy words.
So currently he's on
check
a line.
Check another one off.
Currently.
We apologize to you, Mr. J. Wendell.
His current line mates are Coyle and Fontaine, which I would say is probably one of the most physical lines on the Wild.
there's a little bit of size going on there.
I mean, I wouldn't say Coyle is overly... I mean, he's got size, but he's not overly physical.
They don't throw their weight around a lot, but...
Right.
They're size-wise, they're bigger, yeah.
Maybe this goes back to our the other question. And, you know, maybe it's a... Maybe the start mixing that first and third and see if it sparks Nino and sparks Fontaine, sparks everyone, you know?
Toss them around a little bit. And
Yo needs to go a little mad scientist and start mixing things together, right?
Yeah.
Well, pouring a little of this in here.
Put Parisi's head on top of Coil.
Oh, boy. So
your late Halloween episode.
We are in an El Nino year, so he brings up a valid question. Are we going to see Nino start putting up some points again, you think?
Maybe that's the problem, is in the El Nino years, he's just in a drought.
He's on the other side of the country where they're getting hit with all the crap?
No, drought. The weather has sucked all of his energy out.
Yeah.
You basically take from one El Nino and give it to the other El Nino.
So if what we have to do is give up some scoring from El Nino, our Nino, in exchange for a winter like this where, you know, it's going to be Christmas and it's going to be 40 degrees outside.
Tough luck, Nino.
Mr. Wendell, I guess the consensus is that Mother Nature screwed us this year on Nino getting some goals.
Well, that sounds like a very scientific breakdown.
Yeah.
Ask me again at the end of January, and we'll see if we have the same answer on this one.
Right. Blame Mother Nature.
Yeah.
So, second question comes from our constant contributor to the Twitter talk section, Derek Felska, and that's at State of HCKY News, State of Hockey News. Would you give Darcy Kuemper the start against Dallas or Montreal? How important is it to beat Dallas just for confidence alone?
That's a tough question because, we're going to want our number one goalie in against both of those teams. And, I mean, their back-to-back games are coming up Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or Monday, Tuesday?
Monday, Tuesday.
Monday, Tuesday.
Stars and then the Canadiens.
You know, I would say I would probably start Kuemper against Dallas, which I think is the first game. I think that's tomorrow night's game. And see how he handles. Because, I mean, if he does good, I would keep Dubnyk in for both of those. You're going to want, you know, a solid performance against both of those teams that have been lighting the lamp quite a bit.
So you're saying you want Dubnyk in for both the games?
I say give him the shot against Dallas. And if
at first you said Kuemper.
Yeah, he said Kuemper again. I was like, wait.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Kuemper, I said. Dubnyk, I meant.
Here comes.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So play Dubnyk for both. Play Dubnyk starting off, see how he goes, and then if it's, you know, if it looks like he's struggling, put Kuemper in against Montreal.
You know, and I don't think that Dubnyk would struggle there, but, you know, Dubnyk was, you know, supposedly out for not just paternity leave. It was more of an injury. So I think that we don't want to overwork him right now as he's getting, you know, back into the swing of things. And at this point, I mean, this goes back to the question that I kind of asked you guys earlier, is your confidence level of what we have for our goaltenders. And honestly, I think as Dubnyk has been away for a little while, I think that Kuemper has, you know, stepped in and played well. So, he's, you know, made a couple boneheaded moves, but, you know, maybe that's just kind of what comes with the territory. But we have found ways to win with Kuemper in the net. So I don't think that having him in there would, you know, be that detrimental. But so I would say, though, that I would probably start Dubnyk against Dallas. So just for the fact that that is kind of our conference, within our conference, it's a, you know, a rival type game.
And his leg should still be pretty, you know, fresh. So I would agree. It makes sense to have Dubnyk going against the Stars. And then plan for Kemper to be starting against Montreal. If something happens, you know, you work around it, you know.
Yeah. So Felska also asked us another question. The Dallas Stars are one of the better skating teams in the league. Would it be a good time to put Eric Halla back in the lineup?
I think you can't just keep healthy scratching him, so you're going to have to probably flip things up a little bit. And then, so I'm going to say, yeah, put him in. My vote would be to take someone like Carter out. That's kind of where I'd lean.
Run with two centers on that fourth line.
Well, either that or move him, move Hall up to the third line, and you know, coil back on the wing, maybe, and probably move Fontaine down to the fourth line or something like that.
And I'm looking at, you know, I like to put size up against speed. You know, there's, you know, if you're slowing other guys down, it takes their speed game out of it.
But that's not really the Wild's MO. I mean, we don't play a big game.
We don't. So that said, though, you know, what have you done for me lately?
And I mean, I really like Halla. I would like to see more out of Halla, but yeah. You know, I think, you know, as we had mentioned before, him sitting in Yo's doghouse right now, I still think he's in Yo's doghouse from last season, and that it's not going to help at all.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly.
Janet Jackson tried several times to revive her career. How well did that go for her?
But okay, so back to you're saying you want to fight speed with size.
Mm-hmm.
So are you basically, you know, is your game theory based off of Nintendo ice hockey, where if they pick four skinny dudes, you pick four fatties?
That's right.
That's solid logic, I gotta say.
It is. Just park them all in front of the net.
Hope for the best.
Yep. So, yeah.
So,
all right. So we got Game of the Week coming up, or two, because we're going to be...
Right. Programming note, you know, rather than skip out next Sunday's podcast through the holidays... we're going to record a super special Wednesday edition of the podcast.
We got two potential Wednesdays coming up.
Yep. But look for it online in your preferred podcast or in your preferred podcasting app.
Right.
iTunes, whatever else you might be using.
So between now and Wednesday, as we had talked about, we have the Stars and the Canadiens both at home. Jive, I think it's your turn to pick. What game are you going with this week?
Well,
or in the next couple of days?
You know, I like the Stars Wild game. Obviously, the Stars are playing great, and I mean, obviously, it's in the conference. It's the Stars, but I also think that, you know, Montreal is nothing to sneeze at this year either.
They've got some killer lines going on, and.
They've got a solid game that they're going to bring to the table. So I'm actually going to pick the Montreal at the Wild because, I don't know, it's a team we don't see too often, so I think that should be fun.
Cool.
So,
who are you going with as the winner then?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna pick the Wild in this one. I think that they're going to continue to roll and be able to... score some more goals.
So the Preds game was just a fluke. Well, everybody's got to lose every now and again, right?
They got a couple goals, and I got to say, they did have some chances in that game. They had chances to tie it up, even though they were outshot, you know, by a large margin in that game. I think that we definitely had our chances. So, I'm going to go with the Wild winning this one 4-2. Maybe an empty netter at the end there that'll, you know,
to solidify,
break it open. Yep.
Cool. I also am going with the Wild. I'm going to go with 4-1, a little more of a blowout. The Canadians have not fared well against Western teams. They're 4-7-0 Meanwhile, the Wild have done very well versus the East. They're 5-2-0. So I think it's a pretty... Numbers are on paper. It's looking good for the Wild. Obviously, the Wild are really good at home on top of that. So I'm going Wild winning 4-1.
All right. Jive, I originally had the same score you did with Wild winning 4-2. But I'm kind of liking Aaron's logic with about a 3-goal win. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bump my score. I'm going to be a little optimistic here, and I'm going to go with a Wild win 5-2.
Wow, we're going to have a repeat of the Vancouver game?
No, maybe Rangers.
Maybe Rangers. Okay.
All right. Well, I think we've got a show here. So, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
People can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y with links to my Twitter and Instagram and, that fun stuff.
Sweet.
Jive?
Yeah. And you can also check me out. I'm on about.me/HeyJive. And you can find my social links there and connect with me on anything tech or anything sports related and hockey related.
Star Wars related?
Maybe. I think I'll be actually not this weekend, but the next weekend.
You gonna take your kid to?
I'll probably take the family. Yeah.
So.
The whole
family. He will take
the whole family.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What a great way to end the show.
So if anybody can get if anybody can get back to us with their tallies of how many idiotic things Kenny said during this episode.
I'm curious to know, too. I'm going to have to listen to our own show just to tally it up.
Yeah.
And pay attention.
I wish I had a prize to throw out.
Pay attention, I must.
Maybe if you want to sponsor this show and have us throw out some gifts for you, we could draw gifts for tallying up Kenny's idiotic remarks.
We'll give you a free ad on the show.
I thought you were going to say throwing out one of our co-hosts. All right.
All right.
Good night, peeps.
Let's do this.
Hello!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Show finished, we did.